got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. Now, here are the nerds.
Good evening, or good morning, however you're listening to us. You're listening to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA here in the Allo Communications Studios in downtown Greeley. We've got Micah Kilpatrick, Scott Magerflesh, and me, Nick Kenny, also known as...
Darth Monger. Darth Ambivalous.
Darth Harmonic.
I love how every time you play the Darth Harmonic hit, Nick like straightens his back up and he puts one hand in the other one and it's like, oh, my tea will be here soon. Thank you.
I just feel my posture needs to be a little...
Apparently. That's refined. Pretty funny.
Yes.
I don't know if I've noticed that before, but that was cute.
That was, yeah. That's one of these days we're going to have to do a live like video of these.
That would be
two.
Good, yeah. We're going to have to do a... Maybe we do it on Facebook Live. We literally do the show as we would do it, and then we do it Facebook Live.
Oh, gosh, that'd
be kind of fun.
They'd see what happens in between segments, too.
Oh, my gosh, that'd be crazy.
Where we just give Micah some banter about the Broncos' performance and compare that to the Rings of Power, or, yeah. You know, for
well,
me,
I'm the
She-Hulk.
One that compared it to the Rings of Power. Yeah. The Broncos aren't playing well, and the Rings of Power is crap.
Well...
But we can talk about that in the second segment.
Hey, this is not the jock show. This is the nerd show. So we're going to focus on the other stuff.
But. Yeah, we should focus on the best one so far, which is Andor. And this episode so far is my favorite episode of maybe everything that we've talked about. I'm not sure.
It was so good.
Really good.
Such a good episode.
I'm just want to backtrack for a moment. And last week was probably the best week for nerds who've been watching either all three of these fandoms or just even a selection of them, because not one of them disappointed.
No.
And it was
except
just
for two of them.
Better TV on better TV on better TV. Like, they are pulling out all the stops, and it was just sensational. I
and
can't
two
get
of those
enough.
Stops came right out of their butt.
I don't even know what to do.
I don't know either.
Throwing curveballs at me.
He's on. Micah's on today.
That's risky.
It is, but sometimes it can be really entertaining.
Hang on. Let me hold my hand on the red button just in case. Just in case I say something.
Okay, let's not say anything, Micah. You know better than that. But I think you're right. And I have to say that last week I felt so proud of myself because I was like, I knew it. He's Sauron. And then I was wrong.
And he's not.
And he's not.
Oh, my gosh. So we're talking Rings of Power,
yeah,
of course.
So
and
talking,
it's just,
yeah.
It started off slow. It, you know, when we look back at the Rings of Power, I love the cinematography. I love the story. But it really did step up its game with the relationships building between the elves and the dwarves, or, you know, Elrond and Durin and his wife, Disa, and with Galadriel, and really just being driven by that hatred of Sauron.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just mind-blowing. I mean, but it shouldn't have been mind-blowing because it was steps there all along the way.
Yeah.
But I love that twist and that teaser with the stranger because, everyone's been, well, it could be a wizard. Well, the wizards didn't show up till the third age. You know what? I don't mind that this deviated from J.R.R. Tolkien's works,
yep,
because they were also incomplete. And they're telling a story that's going to connect us, because even if it was another wizard that they introduced us to, you know, it's nice to have some little nuggets of comparison, because the only person that we have right now is Galadriel, the only people, Galadriel and Elrond.
Yep.
We know the names Durin, we know the name Sauron, we didn't know Adar, but I loved how that battle sequence took off with the Harfoots going to rescue him because, yep, they knew that he was in trouble. And I was like, wow, okay, well, this is how they get Sauron. And then what?
Yeah. And then wait, what? He's like, no. He literally saves the Harfoots from being destroyed by the, and what are we calling the?
The nomads, maybe?
The nomads? I don't know.
So are they dead? Because I mean, are
there
people?
Into butterflies. I thought that was so cool.
Oh my gosh.
It was like crazy.
Well, people are, I'm sorry, fans who might think this, they are not ringwraiths. So all those fans who are criticizing females being ringwraiths, these are not the same.
No.
They were not men. They were not corrupted by Sauron. So you know what? Just shoosh and do a little more research. That was a throwback to my nephew who does
like
the shoosh.
Yeah.
I love that sequence. That was a complete turn. I go, wow. And it reminded me a little bit of the Goonies with Sloth. Like, Sloth's not
a
bad guy, you know? Just a little misunderstood. And he went in to save the day.
He was, and I love the build. And we talked about this earlier in the series, that how interesting would it be if this ends up being, you know, because the Harfoots are a type of hobbit, and we talked about it. You know, what if he is Sauron? And what if he is, you know, going to be, like, essentially saved or helped by the, you know, by the hobbits, and then they become his downfall? And now we're finding out that it's not. And I know that they never said it. I know they never indicated it. But that scene at the end of the, almost the end of the episode, when he's like, you know, Nori, you know, always follow your nose. And it was like just eye-opening, going, wait a minute, we had that from Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings series. And so I'm like, I don't know who else it can be. And obviously it could be somebody else. We're guessing it's Gandalf.
If it's not, I think that would be the cheapest misdirection.
It would be.
You know, that would be I would be, if it is indeed not Gandalf in future seasons, which we have to wait until 2024 for, not 24 for, we have to wait until, you know what I'm saying.
The year 2024.
Indeed. That would be cruel. But
it would be.
I think that is Gandalf, and I don't mind the timeline. They're going to go east, which is where the other wizards, the blue wizards, end up going to. Anyway, I don't mind that they're messing with this lore. House of the Dragons also is messing with lore from what George R.R. Martin is. So, I mean, as a fan, you know, just as a general question, you know, when Star Wars deviated, well, this is deviating from J.R.R. Tolkien's works a bit, and then same with House of the Dragon. But for me as a fan, that's exciting because we don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Well, and I think that it's not quite we don't know what's going to happen. We do know what's going to happen.
Well,
we've
in the
seen
end game,
it,
yeah.
But we don't know how we get there, and that there are so many different paths to get there. And I think that that was part of the problem with Star Wars when we kind of blew up the canon and we restarted, that there was so much about it that we knew. And to your point about, you know, the House of the Dragon, that we know where we end up with Daenerys Targaryen. We know what happens there. But how we get there, it's still this tangled web that we get to unfurl and unfold. And the fact that we have, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien's works that really give us an idea of what we're going to be experiencing. But to your point, they're incomplete, they're unfinished. And there's some opportunities for a little bit of creative freedom that's been taken. And it isn't overbearing. It isn't overwhelming. It's a little bit of a push. It's a little bit of an adjustment, a little bit of a tweak. It's not like we decided we're going to go, oh, by the way, the person that died in the previous series, we're going to bring him back to life. Yeah, he's not really dead. And it feels like an episode of Lost, because I think that was their big claim to fame, that like every couple seasons, some character you thought that was dead is now back again. And, you know, or it reminds me of the Robot Chicken episode where, you know, they're trying to, you know, say that Darth Vader has the ability to choke people. Truth is, he can't. So if you fake like you're choking and you fall down, you add a mustache and we bring you back and introduce you as, you know, Lieutenant Leopold or something. And so I'm glad that they're not doing those things, and I'm glad they're doing things that have an opportunity to build and create a better story without tearing it apart and rebuilding it and have everybody going, what are you talking about?
Plus, you get to build your own theories, which I think is magnificent. You know, this whole time thinking that, for me, Adar was Sauron, and then, you know, hinting that the Stranger might be Sauron, for it to just, you know, the second big surprise of this was Halbrand.
Halbrand is
the one who saved Galadriel. And I mean, the last episode, well, this one, he was a completely different character. He absolutely was, and it was just a total shift, so we knew. And I remember back in episode 3 where he became interested in forging, or acknowledged his interest in it. So I think even just for a moment, I was like, huh, I wonder if that's Sauron.
There's some foreshadowing. They did a great job with
but
it.
But he could have also been, you know, the King of the Mountains that had to fulfill his pledge. He could have been the first Ringwraith. So there's still so much we don't know. Yeah. But we'll talk a little bit more about the finale of Rings of Power and then get into Andor before we cover House of the Dragon. Stay tuned, Nerdians. We'll be back with more nerdiness.
say.
Oh, they were actually on.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, you're the one who asked the question during the break. What did the fox say?
Oh my gosh.
I did.
So I decided to play this song.
So we're literally during a break, and Nick is looking at an Amazon catalog. Maybe we should reach out to Amazon about sponsoring us since we're mentioning them on the air.
Possibly.
But they've got this fox sticker, and all of a sudden he goes, "You ever wonder what the fox said? I remember that as a kid," and blah, blah, blah. And then the next thing you know, our bumper music coming in is, "What did the fox say?" And we were both looking at Micah going, and he's like, "You're on." It's just, like, wait a minute. How did that just happen?
Sometimes that happens. So you know it's live radio. We're
you know
doing
it is.
Anything in post.
And you get production quality.
This has 152
efforts.
Billion listens?
Oh, my
gosh. No, 152 million listens. Good God.
Still a
There's
lot.
There's a lot of people How that want to know what the fox
I'm
said.
I'm questioning and we still everything don't know. I believe in.
We my, still don't know.
My cousin just got married and her now husband recreated that for his now mother-in-law. So they played that at the wedding during the speeches, and it was just as ridiculous as what we just heard.
I can imagine.
I'm not going to make a comment.
All right. So we've got a lot to cover in the next several segments, and we're not going to have enough time. So we've got to wrap up thoughts on Rings of Power.
Well, you know, I love how Nori, the Harfoots empowered her to travel with, should we call him Gandalf?
Yeah, let's call him Gandalf. Young Gandalf.
Young Gandalf.
YG.
Yeah, the OG YG.
Wait, so OG, he is actually Gandalf?
So, say what?
That guy is actually Gandalf?
That is currently what everything is trending and where they're pushing it.
Every
hint
okay.
shows it's Gandalf.
I'm loving it. I'm loving that so much. So Nori goes off, which is very becoming of Bilbo and Frodo.
Yep.
You know, and I'm surmising because the names are fairly similar. Also, you know, it was kind of poetic about who is like, I want to call him the shaman, for lack of a better word,
yeah.
the tribal leader, his death. Yeah. Normally, they are so cruel, they'll just leave somebody behind. I mean, that's just what they've done to survive. And I love that they didn't show his death, but they sat there with him until he passed.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was a really big shift for the Harfoots. And I think with Poppy, is that her name?
Nori's best friend?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, because she's going to be the leader now,
yeah.
you know, of navigating. I'm thinking that she might found the Shire.
She could be. Yeah.
Because I think they're going to realize how much of a nomadic life is difficult. They're going to try to get as far away from Mordor as possible, live their peaceful lives. So hopefully Nori will be able to return to her family after helping Gandalf, young Gandalf, get to Rune. And maybe we end this series with the Shire being founded from their storyline.
Could be. Well, and then we have so much to figure out about Durin and his bride, about, you know, the dwarves kingdom, because mm-hmm. you know that just sort of got left hanging in the air.
Oh yeah, so. That's suspenseful, and Isildur's still out there, because
yeah.
we know Isildur's around, and Aragorn is a descendant of Elendil and Isildur, so
mm-hmm.
definitely those question marks still out there. We didn't get to see the Southlanders this time around. Do you think Halbrand, as well, I guess next season, are he and Adar at odds? Does he have to take Mordor from Adar?
I don't think so. I think Adar is going to welcome him with open arms.
You think?
Because you think about it, he absolutely refused to say that he was Sauron. I mean, and when he was like, "I am not Sauron, but I am I am one of his, and I will absolutely."
But he also was the story that he told. I can't remember her name. Gosh, I'm so bad at the names for all these, especially
yeah.
House of the Dragon and Lord of the Rings or Rings of Power. You know, the lady who led the villagers and
yeah.
such. But he seemed to have a lot of vitriol toward Sauron. And I don't know if that was just a farce, just to try to lure her away and, confuse us watchers of him. Maybe he is Sauron, or if he really doesn't have any love for him.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, and I think that maybe we're finding out that there are very two different sides to Sauron, and he will leverage whatever he can to make that happen. But
well, and going back to his immediate shift of knowing about the ores and the Mithril and how to get the most pure, I liked that kind of poetry for Galadriel having to melt down that
I want to
say Valyrian, but it's not Valyrian because
yeah.
that's from House of the Dragon.
It is, but
you know, that pure gold and silver, just to be able to get the purest of ores to come together with the Mithril. So we saw the three rings formed,
yep.
And that was cool. That build up the whole time. It's going to be a crown.
Oh, yep.
No, it's going to be
mm-hmm.
two crowns.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's going to be three rings.
Yeah,
and we know those aren't corrupted by Sauron. So, you know, what happens next? We know that Sauron gives the nine rings.
to the men.
And so they become the Ringwraiths. So how do the dwarves get theirs? And they were too strong to be corrupted. But they were still given rings. Were they given them from the elves, maybe as a thank you for saving our lives with this mithril, with this power? Were they given it from Sauron, hoping that he could corrupt the dwarves as easily as he could corrupt man? It's going to be, for me, that's going to be fascinating because we know what happens. We know that the ring is eventually destroyed in about 1,500 years. Mm-hmm. But I think
they bought those rings from a store.
Well, and I think the other thing for me is going to be, how is it that Sauron is able to create one ring to rule them all? That whole element where they've separated into the three rings, okay, this is, and they talk about it. Well, one ring means it's just a dictatorship. Two, there's strife. Three, there's balance. And so how do we get the one ring to rule them all? And again, I haven't read all of the Tolkien lore, so I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see how that gets built up and how that gets created and what gets done in order to get to that point. So
wow. I'm loving it. Scott, for me this season, two thumbs up.
Same for me. I really enjoyed it and I thought it was a great series, and it really did start slow and I really didn't get completely sold until about close to halfway through, but then the second half I was like, could not wait to watch, could not wait to see it, and have seen many of the episodes, including the finale, multiple times, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, it was an uphill battle. If you look at The Lord of the Rings and how we fell in love with the hobbits first after an epic telling of the tale of what happened first. So you get to see the hobbits of the first 45 minutes of the film and a wizard, and then you get introduced to man. Then you get this whole elvish thing. They couldn't do that with all the characters they had here. So for them to pull it off and to build the last three episodes, really, I just loved it. And I can't wait till 2024 when we can see the next season.
That'll be
great. I hope it gets canceled.
Wow.
Andor was better.
Andor
was what?
Phenomenal. And so great segue, Micah. Thank you very much. So,
best episode so far. Oh, my God.
Oh, it was so good. I love the character development that they did for Andor throughout this entire thing. And I loved how they showed not only they reinforced that he can be vicious. He can be very cutthroat. And it
can
really
be.
And
but not on purpose. He's very practical. It's
He's
a practical,
practical
decision. And which is hard because many others would hesitate.
Yes, and it plays into exactly what he says in Rogue One. You know, a lot of us have done terrible things in the name of the rebellion, and he's showing that, but it's in the name of the rebellion, although he isn't formally a part of it yet, but he still is doing it because that's what he wants. And then even at the end, when he gives her back the stone and just says, I want my 30,000 credits, and I'm going to use it to buy the ship, and I want to leave, that there is an element of him that is really true to the cause, even though he hasn't figured it out yet.
How about that acting?
Oh, my gosh.
Diego
so
Luna's face.
He is so good.
So I don't know if we want to give the ending away just yet, but he just absolutely...
It's been a week, Micah.
The look
People
on
haven't
his face.
Seen it. It's their own fault. Play the spoiler alert.
I don't mind giving away the ending.
No.
It's just like watching the entire episode build up.
Yep.
There was no wasted moment. Like even the part where the guy is talking about how large he is.
Yes.
You know, that is setting up the end. That's setting up the death of that guy. So he ends up dying of a heart attack.
Because he's so out of shape, because he's gotten fat. Well, and it, again...
Like the Empire has.
Like he said earlier on, they're so fat and sassy, they're so proud of themselves. That's what that whole episode was about, was showing how proud of themselves they were.
They were so proud that... Oh my God.
The most tragic part to me tonight, that poor Imperial officer was making some sublime cocktails that probably would have rivaled 477 distillings, and yet they couldn't even enjoy them because those darn rebels came in.
Yeah, the rebels came in and shut them down. But it was good.
That whole sequence was so well planned, but you knew it's a heist episode.
It's a heist.
Things were going to go wrong.
And
better
I'm
than
so
some
glad
heist movie.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And it was so well done that, again, I can't even go into... It's hard for me to get my thoughts together when talking about this because I'm so jazzed about it, and it was done so well. It didn't go the way they planned it, which they never do. You know,
of course.
You know, every battle plan goes out the window the moment the battle starts.
And you always you wonder which one of the characters is going to die.
Yep.
Is this going to be like typical Star Wars where it's like, oh my God, we all lived in a bunch of bad guys?
The one thing I was confused about, because we did lose the oh gosh, what was his name? Because he got shot in the back when they got pinned down. And good for that one officer who was just on. You know, he was panicked. Something's not quite yep. right. And then their communicator disruptor failed,
yep.
Which sent a squad down. Everything else went perfectly. I mean, they really had that so well planned out until
they did. Yeah,
that ending moment. I mean, that was probably one of the most breathtaking moments of Star Wars in the storytelling aspect, in the visuals when the eye happened. Like, I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah,
a couple of those shooting stars early on was a great teaser. Mm-hmm. That build up was spectacular. But you know, you see troops getting pinned down, and the hard thing with those rebels is they left. They had a mission, and there was not much going back for somebody else who was pinned down.
Yeah, and they knew it.
One of the gals, like the toughest lady, she stuck on the planet.
Yeah.
She
her put froze. It on the outfit, and she walks away.
So I don't know if she knew.
Was that the plan, though? That didn't make sense.
I was wondering if that was part of the plan.
I don't know.
Did she know that she was going to be stuck on the planet for however long? I assumed that she did.
She had her goodbye with her of like, you know, it seemed like an interesting goodbye.
Yeah.
As far as the other ones go.
Be okay. So the leader of the movement, Vel, was saying to Cinta, yep. you know, tell me you're going to be okay. And mm-hmm. Cinta's left on the planet.
Well, she's just guarding people. Yeah. Why is that?
But I think we're seeing the contingency plan starting to kick in and the realization that they're going to have to go with that. And that's really what I saw with Cinta's character, that, you know, the original plan was they were all getting out together. They were all going to be on the transport. They're going to launch. Everything's going to go well. But if stuff goes sideways, here's how this is going to fall back. And this is what we're going to have to do based on where we're at. And I think that's what we saw. Cinta's knew she wasn't going to be able to get there. She wasn't going to be able to make it. So she was going to stick around and stick back. And I think that's where that departure comes from, is that we've got to do this way. And it's sort of like, I'll come back for you or whatever else. But it's in a way that's less lovey-dovey and more realistic. It's like, just tell me you're going to be okay.
One thing that makes me like this show and this episode so much is you see the flaw in the leadership. You see, so Vel,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if she's... When they're about to go down off of whatever that thing is, it looks like a dam.
The rappel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whenever they're about to rappel, I don't know if she's afraid of heights or if she's afraid that the mission's not going to work and she doesn't want to, you know, put everyone in danger. But Cinta is saying to Vel, you're stalling,
mm-hmm.
when she asks, is that secure?
Yeah,
she froze.
I think that it's an element of there's
reality.
No turning back. Mm-hmm. That literally they were at that precipice where if we go, we go. Or we can all walk away and we can all live and we can all just, you know, try something else. It was she knew in that moment that it was they were going all in.
And
I think that's
did.
What it was. And she was hesitant. And I think part of it was the relationship that she had with Cintas, that she knew that if anything went bad, it might not go well, and was some foreshadowing to what we saw.
Yeah, and it was a perfect moment showing that even leaders mm-hmm. aren't perfect.
They're not.
No. Oh, stay tuned for more of the Nerd Show. We're going to discuss more Andor and what we can expect next after this break. Welcome back to The Nerd Show here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA in the Allo Communications Studios. We're still talking one of the best weeks of nerddom ever with House of the Dragon, Rings of Power, Andor, and Micah's personal favorite, She-Hulk. And we're going to discuss...
How dare you? You know what? We're talking about that in the post-credit scene.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later. Don't worry about it. You don't even have to be there.
Good. I'll be long gone.
Okay, good.
Oh, my gosh. So we're still discussing Andor and just the buildup. We're six episodes in of a 12-episode season. And I like how the first three could have been its own standalone film. These last three could be their own standalone. Are we going to get two more different segments
I believe
for this first season?
I believe we are. And what I think we're seeing is we're seeing these major story arcs that are being kind of contained within a three-episode set. And I like the idea because, like you said, it can almost be its own movie. So it's 90, 95 minutes, and that's what we're getting. And the thing for me that I enjoyed the most was seeing, Luthern?
Mm-hmm.
When he goes into the back and he realizes that the raid has happened and it's been a success. And just to see the look on his face and how happy he is knowing that it happened and it was so cool. And then conversely, you see the ISB go absolutely crazy. It's like, nobody's going anywhere. This is shut down. This is a big deal. And so you start to see, here's where the scramble starts. This is where, you know, the rebellion is truly born. And we're going to start to see what the ISB is going to do to try and shut that down. And I'm loving all the ways that this is going to go.
Well, and you know, if we go back to episode 4, where Leia's antagonizing Grand Moff Tarkin, she basically told him, you know, the more you tighten your grip, the more systems are going to slip through your fingers. Yep. And right now, the Empire has absolute control over everyone. They're fearful. All, you know, everything is just Empire. This is the catalyst to start it all, so I'm really curious to see what happens next. And I have no idea what to expect. You know, we saw an empty-ish Senate chamber, which already shows that Palpatine, I don't even think he was there.
No, I don't think so
And
either.
The Senate chambers of, you know, Mon Mothma's trying to get some rallying support, but nothing's happening. The raid takes all precedent, and I think, you know, and what, 6 years later, the Senate's completely abolished or whatever. So I'm loving this political turmoil. I'm loving the grit. There's just no complaining from me whatsoever on this other than I want it all now.
Yeah.
I think I've made a commitment that I'm going to, once the show is all the way done, I'm going to find some time to watch every episode back to
just
back
binge
to
it.
Back.
And well,
just,
yeah.
just get the full quality. I want to talk about the end of the show again.
Yeah.
Oh, can we talk about the eye like that?
It was so to me. But, and maybe some people saw it coming, but I didn't see Andor completely murder a dude.
Oh gosh. Well, I did.
I didn't see it come. I thought, okay, you know, Arvel, is it? I can't remember the guy's name.
The young kid?
No, the older guy.
Oh, the older guy who
didn't have a brother.
That didn't have a brother that told the story to kind of become a part of it that he wanted.
He wanted
about the money.
Yeah. Like, I knew he was a bad guy. I knew there was always something about him.
What about the opposite of Han Solo? Because Han Solo was doing it for the money.
Yeah.
But he would never do
this.
He was,
Well, this Andor is more like Han Solo. But the guy that Andor flat out murdered said, we can split this money up.
$40 million.
$40 million. Sorry. Yep. $40 million is enough for me to forget about you. And then right then and there, it was about at that time, Andor just pulls out his blaster.
Just
boom.
Yeah. And there was no hesitation.
And the look on his face.
Well, he realized if he would have said
he
would have been dead.
Yeah, he could have been.
That guy was walking away with that money one way or another, and Andor was not that person. I thought that was the right move.
Oh, absolutely.
A practical move. Morally, more correct, I think. And then Andor basically has to go to Vel and say, I'm taking my cut, the cut that I'm going to get. Here's the stone back. I'm leaving.
Well, and it's interesting the way he enters the tent.
Yeah, that was coming by surprise.
Because at that point, he doesn't know who to trust. Because he's literally, there's four of them that escape. The one guy's, you know, in the hands of the surgeon, which is Cassian's call.
Yeah.
Cassian makes that call. So now it's like, now I've got the guy outside that's trying to convince me to leave because he wants it all about the money and he needs me to pilot. What does Vel want? And doesn't know. And so I think there's that element of him walking in going, I don't know where I stand with you, so I've got myself covered, but I'm not going to come in, you know, guns a-blazing. And for me, what I saw, the difference between episode 1 and episode 6 of this series, we see Cassian hesitate. We see him processing. We see him thinking about what he has to do with the blues.
And we see a semblance of morality.
He doesn't like it. He doesn't, you know, he's not happy about it. And in this episode, the moment that it becomes reality of what's mm-hmm. about to go down, he doesn't hesitate. He just absolute wastes the guy. And for me, that was a great, just a character build and an arc to go, okay, this is where he started. This is where he's at.
And when will that manifesto, you know, come into play?
Yeah.
Because that kid's manifesto, the kid has mm-hmm. passed away. He could not be saved. That kid's manifesto has been given over.
Nemec is his name. Okay. Yep.
He was crushed. You know what I think is so poetic too. I mean, he knew what the Empire was. He knew the greed, and for him to be killed not by a blaster, mm-hmm. But from the crushing weight of Imperial credits,
mm-hmm. and he was
is poetic.
A credit
I mean,
to him.
That's just that was powerful. Of I mean, you knew he was going to die when he had that sit down with Cassian.
Well, I knew he was
going to
die from the beginning. They always kill like one of my favorite characters. Always, like,
but at least it was a good story arc.
The dude who's like for freedom, they're always going to kill that guy.
William Wallace and Braveheart, you know, it's
great.
It's
music.
What we're used to. I just want to touch on the music and the visual stunningness of that of the eye coming in. That was just magnificent to see. That was probably one of the most stunning things I've ever seen in any Star Wars movie or series. And also a nod to K2SO. Climb! I loved that. Yeah. Just because he... Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. But that was a cool battle, a cool chase, visually stunning.
Music intense throughout the entire thing.
I say be expected to be a little disappointed with the momentum for the next episode because we have some more building to do, but that was an epic first half season finale.
Yeah, it's...
Wow. And then we get to talk about House of the Dragon.
Oh,
this show just gets better and better.
It's so good.
Stay tuned for more Nerd Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Nerd Show. You have Micah, Nick, and Scott discussing all things nerdy.
Well, let's be clear. We're discussing a few things nerdy because there's a lot of nerddom that we have not covered, have yet to cover, and we'll probably never get to cover.
That's so true.
Some nerddom that we've discussed and some nerd smart. Two of the things have been nerd dumb, and two of them have been nerd smart.
Wow. I completely disagree with you.
Okay, we haven't discussed one of the nerd dumbs.
I'm trying to figure out how long Mike has been waiting to use that pun.
Probably. I just came up with that.
Did
I
you
just
really?
Came up with
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Props to you, because that's a good one.
What does Clark Johnson think about it?
I don't know about that one.
Probably. Clark doesn't like my joke.
Well, first of all, let's headline some major news this week that none other than Harrison Ford will be joining the cast of the next Captain America New World Order. Did y'all see that?
I did.
I'm excited.
I missed that. Wow.
Yeah. So Harrison Ford was coming back for Marvel. I think it's marvelous.
Wow. Is this like going to be the
I don't know about that one.
All right. Let's start talking about House of the Dragon. We have one episode left coming up in just a few days. Wow. Again, I mean, they're doing it right. You know, the build, it's not like the last two seasons of Game of Thrones. I think they know what not to do from the kind of the rushed last couple seasons they had. But wow.
Yeah. So here's what I want to ask. Are we going to talk about the fact that we didn't see Princess Rhaenyra or Daemon in this episode?
I had no problem with that.
Are we going to talk about the fact that Rhaenys is absolutely the, can I say badass on the air?
Oh, I like
absolutely.
Her.
This is the best badass of all of them, and I absolutely love her.
She should have been queen from the beginning.
Agreed.
Well, everyone said that to her.
Yeah.
When Allison taunted her with that, and she kind of threw it back
saying,
hey, yeah, you're saying a woman should have been on the throne. Well, you have that potential. You're getting manipulated by your dad. You're getting manipulated by your sons. You're getting mm-hmm. manipulated by your dead husband. She's been trying to play all these games when she's been kind of fooled the most.
Well, I don't know if she's been fooled the most.
She's being played.
There's people trying to manipulate her, and I think she is keeping her own with her own. And she's done that throughout the series that, you know, when she said to Rhaenyra, you know, when this was going to happen, she's like, I'm going to stand on my own. And then she supported her. So I think that's good. But the third thing is a little bit creepy, which is a new twist for Game of Thrones and everything else, was Larys's foot fetish.
Oh, my God.
The way Alicent manipulated that, that was like, what in the world? And when that came, I was like, oh, my God. goodness.
That was that
didn't see that coming.
And he's Weasley. I can't wait for him to die.
Oh, I hope he dies soon, but I have a feeling he's going to have a very long five season length
like
of life.
Littlefinger did. You know, so we're torn because they are going to name Aegon from the misconception that Alicent had from the king's dying words. This is the second time that dying words have been misconstrued. We had that in House Rings of Power with the king, yep. And then we also have that here. So some parallels happening between those two shows. But they're trying to instill Aegon, you know, and he's naughty. I mean, that's just the word to use.
He's a narcissistic idiot.
Yes.
That who doesn't know if his father or mother loves him.
He doesn't know it. He doesn't think it. And he's all about self-fulfillment.
And how about the end? Where he gets that self-fulfillment.
Oh, that was haunting. That was wonderful acting there. But what was Otto going to do? Because he sent Eric and Arik. I hate this, by the way.
Yeah.
Eric and Eric, who are played by the same actor, so I can't even tell who's who. That's one of my big frustrations with this last episode.
No. It is not played by the same actor. It's two different actors.
Really?
Luke and Elliot Tittensor.
Well,
they are twins, or they are brothers, but they are not the same person.
Well, I wish they had different names in the show then, because it's very confusing to me, and they look so similarly.
Well, they're supposed to.
Well, I know they're twins, but it's very confusing. Anyway,
it's confusing for you. I'm terrible with names.
What was Otto's intentions? Bring him to me and no one else. Was he going to kill him?
No.
I think
he was going to set him up and let him know what his place was and tell him that his first order of business is to go and destroy and kill
Dragonstone,
Rhaenyra and Daemon and take over Dragonstone.
Yep. Interesting. I still thought it was noble that Alicent did not want that.
Right.
But she wants her son as king, you know? So Eric, I think, recognizes how wrong this is. You have the kind of battle between Aegon and Aemon, who's also a terrifying character with his one patch.
And
I tell you, the vitriol and hatred that I have for Sir Criston is...
For Criston Cole. Yeah. Is that not a flip of the script? At the beginning, we thought this guy was the best ever, and he was... And now everybody hates him. And he has now named, and he placed the crown on Aegon's head, which does stay true to the original written word of George R. R. Martin. That is specific that Criston Cole is the one that places the crown on Aegon's head. So we're seeing that.
And as Rhaenyrus is trying to escape, because this is the funniest
Rhaenys,
yes.
Yes.
Have, you know, there's three shots of oceanside view in the Red Keep, and they give her one to just go down to the pit. I mean, that was just so rude of them. But she doesn't know what she's got left. You know, she lost her son. Her husband's, you know, mortally wounded. She's got really no control over much of anything. And I see how they're trying to manipulate her. But I really admire and respect her loyalty. And that ending was so shocking. I did not see or expect that coming.
I thought something was going to happen. I wasn't sure what. I did not expect a dragon to just pop out of the floor and kill a bunch of people.
I knew she was going for her dragon. I thought that we were going to have like some element where, you know, was going to bust out of the side during the middle of the, or bust out of the dragon pit during the ceremony, and everybody's going to be like, what? And Aegon was going to get mad because people weren't paying attention to him. That was kind of what I saw, but I did not see what happened and what she restrained herself and her dragon from doing, because she could have literally obliterated all of the Hightowers and all of House Targaryen.
She may be my favorite character right now.
Right there.
You know, I read up on that because fans were so upset that she didn't just Dracarys them. Because that would have saved all the dragons. Yep. That would have saved, you know, where we are. But look at Game of Thrones Jaime Lannister was never respected and always referred to as the Kingslayer. No matter what, how good of a deed that was to take out the Mad King.
Yep.
If she would have, he was named King right there.
Yeah.
Aegon was. So if she would have killed him, she never would have recovered from that. And I don't think
her
family
would have rebelled.
Oh, yeah.
How many people would have said, there's a war going on, a civil war.
Yeah.
I think what she did was absolutely
That was
perfect.
Intimidating. That was awesome to see a dragon fly out.
How about a split in the Hightower family? Because
now
Alicent knows what her father truly is. Her father has been manipulating her
for
years.
That council meeting was so shocking
crazy.
To her.
Yeah.
She didn't realize stuff was going on behind her back. And now you see a split in the Gold Cloaks.
Yes, I thought the
you mean the White Cloaks?
Sorry, the White Cloaks.
I thought the King's Guard.
Yeah, when he did that, I thought that was. And then of course
that dude's dead now,
and that's where Sir Criston Cole is becoming the worst person that. You know, on the show.
For now. Well, you know they're going to redeem him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. But I mean,
they'll find a way. They're going to do it.
No.
I don't think they will.
That's not a very Game of Thrones. Well,
no. I mean, how
for
many
some
of us.
People, he did that with the Hound.
How many of us hated the Hound? How many of us hated
really
Jaime
hated
Lannister?
The
and then it's like, well, actually, this guy has dimensions to him.
I think that. Whether we're hating or loving them, I think that there's elements that you're going to go with it. I saw a meme over the weekend that I thought was absolutely perfect. And it was like, you know, all of you are sitting there trying to argue and justify all the different elements of your House of the Dragon, you know, fandoms and everything else. Just shut up and accept the fact you're just trying to decide which one of the war criminals you like the most.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's call it what it is.
Let's call it what it is.
I love the story. I think we're going to get all Rhaenyra and Daemon as Rhaenys flies in on her dragon and lets them know. But will she side with them? There are 8 dragons that we know of right now, and I saw the breakdown of them. The greens have 3, and then there's 4 for the blacks, Daemon and Rhaenyra and Rhaenys, and then one of the kiddos, and then there's one that we don't know how big it is, but then we have those 3 dragon eggs too.
We do, yeah, out of the clutch that have not that's got a long
do you think
to
we're
go.
Gonna see a dragon battle in the finale?
Yes, I do.
Do you think we're gonna lose a dragon?
Yes, I think that we're gonna lose a few. I would be shocked if we come out of this next season finale with more than half of the current dragons.
And what about do you think people are going to die?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. This has been an epic week. We'll review Andor and House of the Dragon next week. Stay tuned for some bonus content as we discuss She-Hulk. For those who are not listening on the radio or follow us, 1310kfka.com. You stay nerdy.
Don't kill Rhaenys.
The Nerd Show post-credit review coming to you semi-live from the Allo Communications Studios in downtown Greeley. Welcome to all of our listeners on iTunes and Spotify and podcasts and all those other things that people listen to music that isn't live on. So we're going to break down She-Hulk. We hinted at it during the show that we would do this post-credit because you know, Darth Harmonic has not watched the show, and so we're going to give him a pass. But Mike and I are going to talk about it. And Mike has got a manifesto, and I really want to hear this. But before we allow him to read that, here's my 2 cents. Wasn't a fan of the show. Doesn't mean it was a bad show. Just wasn't my thing. Wasn't a big fan of the fourth wall breaks. And I think the season ending really pushed me over the edge. The best part of the entire series was the little conversation that she was having with the quote-unquote Kevin, and she talks about, you know, Hulk smash things. I smash fourth walls, and I smash, you know, people who are, you know, breaking law and everything else, and then she kind of gets this little sideways glance. She goes, and occasionally Matt Murdock. I thought that was the funniest, best line moment of the entire series.
Yes, it was.
And so it just wasn't me. I actually had a conversation with someone last weekend about the show. They really, really liked it. And we had a great debate back and forth about why they really liked it. I respected it. And, you know, the fourth wall thing, I think, is very niche. And I think the way Deadpool has done it has been a great approach. And I think everything else just seems a little bit flat. And it seems to be, I'm trying to steal something. What I would have loved to have seen is literally have Deadpool.
Literally anything else? Oh, sorry.
But can you imagine how funny it would have been if while they're doing that little scene with Kevin, the robot in there, and Deadpool just drops out and goes, what are you doing? This is my thing. Knock it off. And then look at the camera, right? This is my thing. She should stop it, right? Right? Right. And then get out. And then we could have gone back to the normal ending that she created, which I thought was a good way to end it. But that's how it was. So, Micah, what are your thoughts?
All right, so as you said, I wrote kind of a manifesto. I wrote it immediately after seeing the episode. I have not looked at it since.
And you you texted Nick and I and said,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, I have so much to say, and I wrote it down so I could get it out.
Yeah, I wrote it on my phone. I have not checked it for like spelling errors, which I usually go back and do.
So. Go for it, Micah. Let's
hear
it.
Here we go. While I appreciate the fact that this is a story about a woman who wants to tell her own story, which is a novel idea, the fourth wall breaks do not lead to this payoff. And this payoff is better made more dramatic, like The Truman Show. I noticed that there are a lot of complaints, legitimate or not, made by men, especially some on a certain political side. And they were quoted near verbatim by the, quote, angry man group in the show. Now, while I thought this was a little thought-provoking, as I was hearing things from another person's perspective, you know, a female perspective, I found this to be kind of a false equivalency, as many of these complaints are legitimate complaints. Again, I stress my appreciation for thought provocation, but this was strictly a girl power moment and does not help change the opinion of anyone who does not at heart feel like a pragmatist. Also, the idea of poking fun at Marvel's tropes, repetitions, and flaws, as well as internet complaints, I like that idea. However, this was an idea that is better left to Deadpool, as I think many people have said. Overall, She-Hulk is not a strong character in the MCU. She's weak, whiny, a victim, and does not deserve to change her own storyline. The character in the comics may very well be a different story. This is a failed experiment. It is aimed at women who want to get together and complain about men over a bottle of wine. If it were a real girl power story, I would refer you to Nakia, Shuri, and Okoye from Black Panther, who are real girl power characters, and I give this 2 out of 10 stars.
The thoughts and opinions of Michael Kilpatrick do not necessarily represent the ownership of KFK Studios or its representatives.
I just don't character in any way. It was for an audience that just wants to whine about dudes. And
you
have that, and that audience is out there. I don't think it helped.
All right. So I'm going to push back on you just a little bit, and here's why. I think that it is a show that is targeting at a perceived audience that wants to do that. I don't know that the audience really wants that. And I don't know that for a fact. But my take on it is that it's a lot like Thor: Love and Thunder. There's some people that really like that movie, and there's a lot of people that think it really missed the mark on what they were shooting for. And I get that perception with She-Hulk. I think that they tried so hard to represent all of those one-offs and those elements of it that they overdid it. And the moment that you overdo something to that level, it sounds like pandering. It sounds like that you're doing something more than what you need to do. And I think that there was an opportunity here to make this a really good show about a really great character who was dealing with this duality of her ability to be She-Hulk and not be She-Hulk and having to cross the lines between the two. And they could have done it in a way that would have given her a lot more power, a lot more authority, and a lot more ownership of who she was on both levels. And, you know, the very end scene where, you know, the Hulk shows back up and all these other things and Abomination's there and the other guy becomes a Hulk. I like the fact that they changed that ending. I think I would have liked it a whole lot better if they wouldn't have even started down that path in order to make fun of it. Why not just make the point that she was going for in the end and make it an awesome kick butt ending that people could have appreciated without having to try and, you know, wave a red flag and go, look what we're doing, look what we're doing, look what we're doing. We're really making a point here to make fun of ourselves and it's good. Just make the point and do better.
I just don't think her character, and this is nothing against the actor, this is just bad writing. I don't think her character earned the, quote, right to change her own story because she is too weak. I like the idea of, you know, going, of discovering who you are, that you're fake, and going to the master and changing your story. That would have been better if the show was more dramatic. Kind of like the Truman Show, he realized what his role in life was, and then he changed his role in life.
Yep.
If she was like this, if she had discovered who she actually was, that would have been so much better. Instead, it was just goofball the entire time, and then it was goofball more towards the end. And I just thought this was poorly executed. It doesn't really give anyone new to the character a chance to like the character, because it's just, oh, she's a goofball who's too goofy.
You know what? I was hearkening back to when we were reviewing Obi-Wan, and it feels like that they did the same thing with Jen Walters that Lucasfilm and Disney did with Reva in that series. It's almost like we want to make this character be great, and we're going to really overdo it in order to try and tell a story or do it justice. And I think that they missed the mark. And I think, again, in Black Panther, they did an amazing job of doing that well.
Black Panther 2 coming up next month?
Yep. Yeah, November 11th, I believe. And so
excited.
I am too. And I'm hoping that they continue down that path. But I think there was an opportunity that was missed in this regard to make her a great character, a great potential superhero, and a great addition to the MCU without it coming across as something that was maybe served up for an audience that didn't necessarily want what they were served. So that's our take. Thanks for sticking around, coming and seeing us over here on the digital side. We will see you again at some point in time, or we will listen to you, or we will hear you. Depends on if you reach out to us. Stay nerdy and enjoy the rest of your day.